We're delighted today to have HCJB with us. HCJB is a radio ministry that has carried on so well for the Kingdom of God for many years. And today you'll see a display in the foyer about it. There are other people here today that represent HCJB, so if you want a conversation with someone about it, want to ask some details, there'll be a number of people that you can speak to. One of our own, Dave Black, is very involved in this radio ministry that goes around the world. Most of you know, as part of this congregation, is director of ministry partnerships. I believe that's in Canada, for HCJB. And we're delighted for that. We want to encourage Dave in that. He travels with that ministry some of the time. And then he's going to come, and I'm introducing him so he can introduce the speaker appropriately. And we're glad for that. So thank you so much for being here, Dr. Allen. We appreciate it. We look forward to your message. And David, God bless you, and come and give an introduction at this time.
One, a small shortwave station went on the air in Quito, Ecuador, of all places, and the world's first international Christian broadcasting mission began. The call letters of that station, as Pastor David has already mentioned, were HCJB, and that's still part of our name. That was just the first station, and now we're HCJB Global, and in 77 years, that station, of course, those call letters stood for Heralding Christ Jesus' Blessing. Or here comes Jim the Baptist. I just threw that in. HCJB Global has become a mission that spreads the gospel around the world through not only radio and television, but also through healthcare. We minister in over 100 countries, over 120 different languages and dialects. And just to give you one little tiny idea, one aspect of our ministry is partnering in over 350 local FM stations scattered all around the globe. And that's just one little part of it. Now, where did Jim come in? Well, he was 21 years a pastor in the Western States, and then God called him to HCJB, and he began serving with us in 1984. In 1997, he was appointed as senior vice president. And he's been in that role ever since, although he told us last night that, and he may go into this in more detail, his titles are changing as we speak, because the most recent thing he did was act as 4.5 years as president, acting president of the mission while we sought a new president. And that new president, Wayne Peterson, began his ministry on November 1st. And so Jim is sort of in transition, not really relaxing yet, because he's sort of helping the new president learn the ropes. And that's taking a little bit of time as well. But at least there's a sense that Jim and his wife Trish, who's with us as well, can begin to go back to a role that they've always loved, and that is being providing pastoral care to the entire HCJB Global missionary family, and then speaking in churches and Bible conferences, and as he is today. I first met Jim and his wife Trish when Lois and I went to Quito on a mission journey in 1999, and then in more recent years, as we've become fully involved with the mission, we've had a good chance to work together. He's come up here for some of our dinner tours and Bible conferences and so on. We've become very good friends, and it's just great to have them back with us today at Markham Missionary Church. So, Jim, welcome, and the Lord bless you as you share his word with us today.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's certainly good to be back at Markham. I was checking with Dave earlier. I said, now, have I been at Markham 2 or 3 times? He says, twice. I know, because once upstairs and once downstairs. So that's the impact that we left in our times here. But it's good to be back, and we want to say thank you for the snow. My wife loves snow, so she's trying to teach me. If we're slow in adjusting, please understand, 11 days ago we were in the jungle, and that 85 to 90 degree temperature change does make some interesting challenges. But it's always good to be back in Canada. and just have the opportunity of sharing some of the things that God is doing. I'd never like to correct something that was said from the pulpit, but I probably ought to do this. I've been acting president for 4.5 months, and that was plenty long. 4.5 years, I'd be 90 years old now. But God's been doing some great things, and we've been excited. Dave mentioned title changes. I had one of those years where it seems like everything lands on your plate, and inside of 90 days, I lost all of those titles. So it's kind of fun just to be back to be a people again. And to share in what Trish and I often say is the greatest job in the world, that is pastoring people all over the world. And these are exciting days, and yet they're very frustrating days. As we take a look at the world and what God is doing, He's doing incredible things. And yet the challenges facing missions is on the increase. Just the economic situation that we read about and experience here every day is having a great impact on world missions. It's having a great impact on missionaries. And so challenges are interesting. Just a couple of encouraging things. A report went out on Al Jazeera's television not too long ago, and if you're familiar with that term, we read about it in the newspapers in North America a great deal. It's sort of the Fox News of the Middle East. And they have a pretty good reputation of being relatively fair in their reporting. But there was an interview with an imam on this one program, and he was very upset because his statement was this: there are 16,000 Muslims that are turning to faith in Jesus Christ every day. And they're very burdened about that. We're very excited about that. God is doing some phenomenal things in the Islamic world. Some of it He's doing miraculously. We hear stories. I've heard personal testimonies of individuals sharing how Christ met them in a vision, came to them during the night usually, introducing Himself and calling them to Himself. And many Muslims have come to Christ in that way. We're seeing many responses to the radio ministries. Sat7, which is an Egyptian television network throughout the Middle East, is having some wonderful results in terms of Christian television and responses in that area. But maybe the most exciting thing has just recently come to HCJB Global, and we're asking people, this is one of those really hard things because we're asking people to pray for us, but we can't give you any details. And those are always a little bit frustrating, I realize, but a Middle Eastern country, very, 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 very Muslim, has recently come to us and said, we are seeing people come to Christ so fast in our country, we cannot do the follow-up. Would you be willing, via satellite, to broadcast into our nation doing follow-up? And they made an interesting statement. Please don't do evangelism. We're doing that, and already so many people are responding, we can't do the follow-up. But if you will get time on a satellite and broadcast into our country, we will see that our people know where to tune in, how to find out where these programs are, and they will respond. We had a meeting in Dubai just last week with some individuals who are willing to help make programs for that, and some individuals who are weighing whether they will finance that. Obviously, time on a satellite is not inexpensive. And so we're looking at what God is going to do in that area of the world. So let me ask you just to pray for that unnamed nation where God is doing incredible work. And any person in that nation that responds to the message of salvation is at high, high risk. And that's why we don't even use the name. But we do want to encourage people that God is at work. He's doing great things. Now, some of you are old enough, looking around here, to remember a television program, and it probably came out of the United States, but you have to listen to those things usually, that started out something like this. Your assignment, Jim, if you choose to accept it, and you've heard that one, what was it? Mission Impossible. You know, and so he gets this mission instruction, and then this tape will self-destruct And I think it said 30 seconds, and it was about 3 seconds on the program before it self-destructed. I'd like to talk to us a little bit this morning about the subject of your mission. Now, we get confused, I think, sometimes in the church with those two words, mission and missions. Mission is an assignment, and in our context, from a biblical perspective, it's an assignment that God hands out to all of His people. If you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you are on mission for God. That means you have a task that God is expecting you to carry out, that God is expecting me to carry out. Now, for some of us, our mission leads to missions, which I define as the cross-cultural communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ or the cross-cultural elevation of God's reputation. Doesn't mean cross-saltwater, it just means cross-culturally. As I say, when's the last time you were on a local high school campus if you think you don't go cross-culturally very close to home? Or when's the last time you were in downtown Toronto? Many things are cross-culturally very near to us. But John chapter 17 is the Lord Jesus Christ praying. He prays for one individual in two groups. He prays for himself as he's about to die on the cross. He prays for those men that are committed to follow him, his disciples that were with him at that time. And then he prays for everyone that would become a follower of him through the message that they preached. So ultimately, he was praying for you and me. A great, great reminder. And he's praying about these people who will be on mission. And I've said many times that if you want to know what it is that God wants, listen to his heart. Listen to the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that he calls for in prayer, asking his Father to do in the lives of people. And you'll get a feel for what it is that he's asking of you and of me. And so I want us to think today, and I think we need to be done by 6 o'clock tonight, so we will hurry, about simply what I call, what's the model for this mission? What is it that we are to follow after? And as we read in the text, I believe he's saying there is a glorified Christ that we need to be following as a model, and as the title on the screen indicates, glorifying him as a part of our mission. What it is that God wants to have happen. Now, we talk about that word all the time. We want to be to the praise of his glory. Let's stand together and lift up God's name and glorify him. We read all through Scripture that term. But what really does it mean when it comes down to your life and mine, if that's the mission that God has given to us? And when we talk about missions, I keep coming back to the fact that if the North American church wants the world to listen to our missionaries, those missionaries need to be equipped in the context of a mission being carried out by the Church of Jesus Christ. Many times we hear around the world, why don't you North Americans, and usually it's Americans, you guys don't always get swept into that, why don't you Americans go back home and take care of your own problems and then come back and talk to us about ours? So how do I fit into this thing that God expects of those who name the name of Jesus Christ? The first five verses that were read for us just a few moments ago, Lord Jesus Christ praying for himself, he spoke these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. And we know, because of other scripture, that hour meant his death on the cross, his paying the price for our redemption, his making it possible for a condemned sinner to be declared clean, forgiven, to have that hope of heaven, of eternal life, as he talks about in verse 3. But Jesus shares with his disciples the meaning, the importance of his impending death. And now he prays for himself that in the process of his departure, this thing called glory is going to surface. And he, first of all, he says, Father, glorify your Son. Glorify me. Now, a question that I like to ask, because God asks it of me every time I read this portion of Scripture, is it right for me to pray, Father, glorify me? Now, can I pray that prayer? The fact that I ask it says there's not an automatic answer, and so we hesitate. In the Old Testament, Jesus, or God says, I will share my glory with no man. But as we move to the New Testament, and as this concept of glory gets developed even further, it creates an interesting situation, because we're told to be imitators of Jesus Christ. And so here he's talking about, Father, glorify me, so that the Son may glorify you. So he prays that the Father would be glorified, but he prays that that glory would flow through the Son. In other words, Father, as I go through this process, glorify me so I can glorify you. Now, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ came to declare the glory of God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so he says, I want to glorify God. And I would venture to say that every genuinely born-again believer in this room today would say, I want to be to the glory of God. Now, Jesus says, glorify me so that can happen. So what was he asking? Well, if we ask the question, what really is glory, or how do I comprehend this glory? It comes from the original word doxa. And most of you have sung the doxology. And by definition, what would doxology mean? It would be a study of, which is ology, a study of glory. We use it as, thank you, Lord, for the offering. We do it as, Lord, this service is committed to you. But the word itself signifies an opinion or an estimate. And then the result of having that opinion. For instance, if I feel like Chevrolet is the best car, if my opinion of Chevrolet is that it's really a good car, my response is going to be what? I'll probably buy a Chevrolet. And that's what glory is. Glory is an opinion that results in a proper response. So when I'm talking about glorifying God, I'm talking about impacting the opinion that people have about God. But as we look at it in the Scripture, both the Greek and the Hebrew look at it from a little bit different perspective, and I just want to note that, because it's in this context of our mission that missions begins to flow. So if I want to understand the word, I realize it signifies opinion, but I need to understand the world in which it happens. Because to the Greek, when he hears the word doxa, glory, he sees the term of glorification or glory. He has the idea of glory that is sourced in light. So the Greek says, okay, you want to talk about glorifying, we're going to talk about light. So to him, this whole idea of glorifying God, or glorifying anything for that matter, is shining a light on it so it can be accurately seen. So if I am going to glorify something, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to help you see whatever it is as it really is. And obviously the concept, I want to shine light on it so it's not in darkness, so you'll see things you may not otherwise see. But I want to call attention to this thing or this person that I'm glorifying. So if I'm in the Greek context, I need to realize that I'm on mission for God with the responsibility to see that people see Him accurately. I shine the light so they can see it. We have a partner in Indonesia. Incredible bunch. Trish and I had the privilege of being with them last year. Their leader's name is on every hit list in Indonesia. Every serious Muslim across Indonesia wants his life. He's 42 years old. Absolutely sold out to God. Absolutely committed. We've been able to help them put 24 radio stations on the air in Indonesia, the largest Muslim station in the world, or nation in the world. They have reported back to us that we're using the radio stations to plant churches and to start orphanages. And they said, we are seeing an average of 5 people come to Christ every day in every one of these radio stations. So just them alone are seeing an average of 100 people a day coming to know Jesus Christ in the context of these radio stations. But their commitment in their communities in this very Islamic land are to make Christ look good. And that's why they're loving people with orphanages. That's why they're reaching out to people and starting churches. That's why they're calling for medical help. We've gone in there a couple of times with medical teams to try to help them love people so that people can accurately see who God is and then be given the opportunity to respond rightly to Him. So if we're going to just stay Greek for a moment, what does the community of Markham think about God because of the Markham Missionary Church? What kind of a light do you shine on God so that your neighbors, your communities, know who He is? You see, that's our mission. So I need to approach it intentionally with the idea of a light. Now, I've come to appreciate light a whole lot more recently. I had eye surgery a few years ago. Blue eyes living on the equator at 10,000 feet, they say, is a guaranteed cataract problem. And when they did my cataract surgery, they took the lens out that had clouded and put new lens in. Now, that sounds really impressive, but I'm nearly blind if I don't have plenty of light. And God has said, Jim, that's exactly where the world is today. The world hears about God. Everybody in the world knows something about God. They've heard the Word. They may not know who He is. They may not believe in Him. But the Word is out there. The concept is out there. But they're living in blindness. And just like many times, I had to do it again at church. We were in Michigan last week. I've got to move somewhere else on the platform just in order to be able to see my Bible. That's the exact concept that God is talking about when He talks about glorifying God. It's His people getting enough light on the character of God that people can see who He is. And we cheer when our missionaries do that, don't we? But from where do our missionaries come? They come from our local churches. They come from bodies of believers around the world. And if they haven't learned in the context of their local fellowship what it means to glorify God by shining light on Him, they're not going to do any better out there. And so one of my great cries is for local churches to recognize the imperative, I use the term, of elevating God's reputation where they are, because that's the context in which missionaries are prepared. So the Greek says, let's get some light on the subject. Then the Hebrew comes along and says, you know, light is really good, but we want to focus on honor. So the concept of glory to the Hebrew is the concept of honor. In other words, the Greek says, let's get some light on it so people can see it as it is. The Hebrew says, so they can respond rightly to it. So my role, my mission in glorifying God is seeing that the light is so shined on God that people see Him as He is and respond correctly. As opposed to, well, I've seen those Christians down there on Major Mackenzie Street, and I don't want to be anything like them, so I don't want their God. So take those two concepts together, and God calls us to let a world know who He is so they can respond rightly. That's why one of HCJB's new taglines, another new word I've learned recently, is that we desire to be the voice and hands of Jesus. We want to be on the radio. We want to be in media so they can hear in the Islamic world. They can hear in private. In the Amazon jungle, they have a chance to hear because it's way too big and way too inaccessible for individuals to get into all these communities. So there's a great role for mass media. But we want them also to feel the loving touch that says, this is what God has done in changing my life. And that's why God is opening doors in sub-Saharan Africa right now to put radio stations alongside health clinics, where they can hear the message, they can hear educational materials, but they can come in and have their lives physically touched and experience the love of this God, to recognize that He really is someone who cares for them. So when we talk about our mission for God being to glorify Him, we're really talking about the basis of missions. So how does that happen? Now, I don't know how many good Presbyterians we have here this morning, but some of you recall the Westminster Catechism. We'll give you a quiz here to see how well you've learned from your Presbyterian brethren. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Great, you got some good Presbyterians here, brother. That's good. Body of Christ comes in all colors. The chief end of man is to glorify God, is to so shine a light on Him that people see Him as He is and rightly respond to Him. And then I get to enjoy Him forever. And that's the call of missions. In Ephesians chapter 3, just very briefly, verse 20 and 21. I tell people this is my favorite passage because this is a benediction. And it's right in the middle of the book, just like most sermons, and in closing, and then 20 minutes later we close. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You see, Christ says, I want to be glorified in this thing called my church, my body. And that's a collective concept that we need to learn together. And as I mentioned, because missionaries come out of that pool, that's the greatest place for God's people to be living and preaching in such a way that the light is shown and that people respond rightly. That's why, and we don't have time, you have to follow me where I'm hiding tonight. I want to go to a second aspect of this. That's why the unity in the local church is so critical to this thing that we call evangelism, that God calls glorifying Him. Because when the church is not together by God's definition, then those things don't happen. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, everything you eat and drink and whatsoever you do, do it how? To the glory of God. Do it. So when we go home at noon today, or we go to a restaurant, or wherever we go, and we sit down, He says, what you are about to do, do it to the glory of God. How do I eat to the glory of God? Well, A, gratefully. B, disciplinedly. Being aware of what we have. Acknowledging that it comes from God. And then He says, then when you get up, whatsoever you do, however you speak to the cook, to the restaurant, personnel, to the wife, to the mother. He said, all of these things are part of this shining the light on God. Trish and I have had great privilege. One of the things that HCJB Global does is does what we call vision journeys, where we take people different places in the world to see what God is doing, normally through HCJB ministries, but not always. And we've had the opportunity on two occasions now to take folks to Greece and Turkey and walk through the footsteps of Paul and then visit the seven churches of the Revelation. Great privilege. But on both of those trips, one in Athens and one in Thessaloniki, In Athens, we were in a restaurant, and when we finished, we got up, we're leaving, one of the waitresses called me over. And she spoke fair English, and she said to me, "I have a question. What is it about you people?" And I said, what do you mean? She says, "You're different." She said, "We don't ever have anybody comes in here like you folks." So I had the opportunity to tell her who we were. These people shone the light. I was able to tell her what they were shining it on. We had the same experience again in Thessaloniki just last fall. This lady did not speak English, so she went to a Greek that was with us, a Child Evangelism Fellowship missionary, and she said, "I've never known anybody like this group. What in the world are they like?" He said, "Could I meet with you and talk about that?" She said, "I'd love to." That's what he's talking about. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever it is that you do, we need to be doing it with the intention in mind that God is going to be glorified, that we're going to let people know who this God really is. We're reminded in Ephesians chapter 1, the whole reason Christ brought salvation to us was so that He would be glorified, so that we would be the words of Ephesians to the praise of His glory. You say, "Jim, John 17, good, but you're a missionary." Let me tell you, without the understanding of the church of John 17, missions isn't going to happen. And so when people have learned that the intention of God is for His people to intentionally glorify Him, until that happens, missions won't happen. And that's why as we take a look at so many countries around the world and see the church growing so much more rapidly than it is in North America, and we sit down and we meet with the believers in these places, we find people that have said, and whether they use the terms or not, they have said, "I am going to intentionally, in my community, at my workplace, in my school, in my religious community, my worshiping center, my church," whatever term they would choose to use, "I am going to intentionally live in such a way that people know who God really is. So that when I invite them to honor Him as God, they already have an accurate view of Him." And our Lord Jesus Christ, on the way to the cross, said, "Father, the importance of Your being glorified needs to be carried out with these people who follow Me." So can I pray, "Father, glorify Me"? On the one sense, yes, as long as I understand that that's not mistaking me for God. As long as I understand I've got no credit coming in this. But the principle is there. You see, if people see me, and for lack of a better word, like what they see, then they are more likely to see God as He is. And that's the call on the local church, out of which comes missions. And that's why my great invitation is not, "Let's all go be missionaries." My call desires to be, "Let's all join in on the mission that God has given to every one of us. Being His ambassadors, His representatives, right where He's placed us." And when we do that, and we're watching that happen all over the world today, when we do that, communities and cultures are being changed. The Church of Jesus Christ is growing very, very rapidly. But when we fall into the trap of wanting ourselves cared for and ministered to and entertained and blessed, then it disappears. So how's your mission for God doing? And resultantly, how are the missions that you're a part of doing as a result? Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the incredible privilege of being Your children, having our sins forgiven, being able to know that great hope of heaven, that eternal life that John speaks of here, that's knowing you. And Father, we realize there's a world that needs to know you. So remind us afresh today of the mission on which you've placed us. The mission to be your representatives in a world, to be bringing glory to you, shining that light on you so that people will see you as you really are and respond rightly. And Lord, we'll just thank you for that great privilege. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And just a reminder, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Thank you.
As we sing our final hymn, pay attention to the words that just follow this.